Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Jonah Dew.
Chantel Dew.
In the houses. See, I remember to do it this time, Kevin. I'm so proud of myself.
Good.
Welcome from the mini Tantrum Houses studioses to yet another podcast episode. We are excited to be talking about all kinds of fun games that we've been playing, whether it was in our homes or in the wildernesses. Sarah and I did a little camping this weekend, which was lots of fun. But let's let you guys jump in with some board game info. Tell us about some of the fun stuff you guys have been playing.
Melissa and I have been doing some live streams on Facebook in our current world that we live in. We thought we'd be doing more of that. So with Renegade, we've played Flux and Lanterns.
I was like, Flux? Wow, been a while.
Not wow. Flux.
Sorry, Fuse. Sorry, Fuse and Lanterns. Lanterns, I love. I love Lanterns. And I've never actually played Fuse before, but it is a real-time dice rolling...
allocation.
Yeah, dice allocation game that we did okay on, but definitely not my type of game. You are rolling dice and trying to basically place these colored dice on these cards, and you're trying to complete cards. Oh, man, it is frantic, but it does make good video. So
it's a cooperative game, so we were working together. Yeah. The interesting thing about the Renegade Worldwide Play Day that they're doing each Wednesday is recently they've been having challenges. Mm-hmm. So basically, we had to complete certain challenges, and if we did, they would draw a winner's name, and that person would win promos or games, so there was extra pressure. Yeah.
The people watching wanted us to complete those challenges. I think with Fuse, we completed two of the four, but with Lanterns, we completed all four challenges.
It was close. It came down to the very last turn. Yep. And Kevin had to sacrifice a little bit to lay a tile so I could lay one to complete a challenge.
I did it for the viewers. I sacrificed my whole game for the viewers.
I did beat him 45-35.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
But they loved us. The viewers loved us.
Way to go. Good job.
Go for it.
Did you survive the Fuse bombing?
No, we lost. I think we only got like 18 cards out of like the 20 or 22. So we were close, but yeah.
Did you download the cool app? Did the audio translate well
over
that?
We have a two-camera setup with our OBS software that we've been using, and the people really did enjoy looking at the app with our cards at the same time. So I think it was a lot more interactive for the audience.
Oh, cool. Fun stuff. Sarah and I, like I said, spent some time in the wilderness this past weekend. We decided to get some vitamin D and some fresh air, and so we did a little camping with some neighbors. We hang out with them around their backyard bonfire anyway, so we thought,
let's
do it in the wilderness. We took a couple games with us. We didn't really get too many of them to the table. The main one we played was Giant Tower Jenga. They had like the... Well, I don't even know what size it is, but mega extra large, as tall as your head version of Jenga.
Cool.
And we walked away with only minor injuries.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was much more difficult on a wobbly picnic table.
And if you weren't ready for it, I think Liam took a block to the head. He looked away right as somebody toppled the tower and had a little goose egg for a couple hours. It was pretty funny.
Do you guys write on your Jenga pieces?
Ooh, what does that mean?
Well, I just, like, growing up, we would always, when we played, we would write, like, little notes or, like, if you pulled this piece and the tower fell or something happened, like, you would have these penalties that would be applied. So it's like, it's like your family customized.
So much better.
Yeah. So with the mega huge ones, it's obviously it's just easier to read.
Right.
But yeah, no, those, we would do that all the time. Like we would write every time, you know, the last person or the person who went ahead and had it fall and tumble down, they had to go ahead and write something or, you know, just to like add every single time that you play.
I love it. That is clever. Could you tell?
Legacy games before legacy games were popular. Right?
That's cool.
Could you like pull a block like halfway out, realize this is a bad one, I don't want it, and then leave it? Is
that, that's not Jenga rules.
What were the house rules?
I feel like anyone really does that. Like people generally do that anyways when card playing. Like, ooh, it's getting wobbly. Let me try to shove it back in.
Take a different one. Not worth it.
At church, we have a giant mega Jenga tower as well, but all of our Jenga blocks are colored, different colors, and we have a dice that you roll, and you have to pull the color that is rolled. So,
that's cool.
So many variants I've never heard
now
of.
Now you know, Will. Now you know.
There's probably a Jenga Facebook page out there with 1,000 more. I just didn't know it existed. Jonah and Chantal, have you guys played any games? I think I might have seen you learning one this afternoon.
Yes, so I was learning Blank. It is a card game. We'll talk more about it in detail in one of our Saturday morning board game shows. But cool. It's pretty cool because it's you basically make it your own game. It's like a mixture of Uno and... It's a great party game for sure. So the more people you have involved, the better. Because then you have things like, you know, if you draw this card, now you have to have your finger on your nose the entire game. And or now you have, you know, it's just like little silly things that each player has to do, whether you carry it out throughout the entire game or just for your turn. So it's a great card party game, very quick, plays in about 10-15 minutes.
Sounds like a good youth group game.
Yeah,
like,
it actually when a bunch when of goofy we teenagers. It, when we played it, that's literally what it made me think of.
Yep, I think the speaking of writing rules and things on Jenga pieces, like the entire game. So it's called Blank. There's more blank cards in the game. Like, so think of like an Uno card, how it, like a red two, and there's nothing else on it. Well, that's what's happening in Blank, except they leave like the bottom half empty and the red two's on top. And that way, when you're the winner of the game, you get to take a card and write a new rule.
Oh, perfect.
On it. Right. So that's why it's called Blank. There's probably 75% of the game and deck is blank, and there's only 25% of it that actually has rules on it when you first get the game. And then you're supposed to write in the rules, right? There's like different sections. So you can write in a rule that always is there. Like there's like a different deck that you draw like 20 cards from, like these three rules we're playing with. And then there's like the actual playing cards that you might draw and discard that you can write like different type of rules on. So it's definitely a youth group party game. More people you have, the more fun it's going to be. Kind of follows those same rules, like you can play the same color, all the cards you have of that color, or all the cards you have of that number. First person to have an empty hand gets to make the new rule, and it just kind of keeps rolling like that. So no, it was a good one. We enjoyed.
So almost like Flux, which Kevin accidentally mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I feel like every game we've talked about has been
variation. Foreshadowed for you all,
right? Nicely done.
Yeah, what's really cool is that you get to sign your name at the bottom of the card, so people will always know when this rule gets played, it was this person. This is who we blame for this rule.
Yep.
Nice.
Too perfect. Well, I think this might be a great jumping point into a shout out from our sponsor.
This episode, we have two sponsors. The first one is McClay's Games, and their game, Sea of Nadia, is going to be on Kickstarter the 18th. This is a game that Will and Sarah have played, and we'll talk about a little bit more in the Kickstarter conniption.
Our second sponsor is Everything Board Games, and they are launching a digital magazine This is a limited edition copy that they are bringing forth to the Kickstarter world. What they're offering is 6 issues for the next year. And I think as they progress throughout the campaign, they're basically unlocking issue by issue. It's a bi-monthly, so every 2 months is the digital magazine that's going to be free. And we're going to talk a little bit about that more in our Kickstarter conniption as well.
Cool stuff. Well, let's do that Kickstarter conniption thing.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about 5 games coming to Kickstarter the week of May 18th, 2020. Kevin, start us off.
Yeah, so this week, like I was saying, Everything Board Games is launching their Kickstarter for a digital board game magazine. And this is going to have a bunch of different stuff packed into the magazine. But the first thing I want to talk about before we get into what the magazine holds is this is actually going to be delivered via email to people who want the magazine for free. Well, how are they going to do this? Well, they're getting funding through not only the Kickstarter campaign, but through ads that people can actually purchase for the different magazines for the future. So you can buy like the front cover, you can buy different spots in the digital magazine. So that's how they are funding the content for the digital magazine. So it's not really costing the consumer really any money. So they're going to try and do 6 issues. And like I was saying in the sponsor shout out, they have each issue is basically a pledge, a funding level that they're trying to get to. So if they reach $9,000, they'll get the first issue out. If they reach $12,000, then the second issue will come. So so as they reach those different funding levels, they'll be unlocking more issues, up to 6 issues for this year. So that's pretty cool.
I would say the other cool thing is just the looks of it. I was actually really impressed by the cover for it. I haven't seen the actual content, but it looks sharp.
Yeah.
Like, yay for board game magazines.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with the graphic design. Pretty stellar. And I actually am looking at their Kickstarter page right now. There's going to be different features, personal stories, definitely reviews. They have some fun names for some of the different spots in the magazine. They have Board Game Bites. They have Hot Shots. They have top 5 lists. I think that's kind of cool. I think in the video medium, I think top 10 lists, top lists are always kind of fun to see. So that'll be kind of cool to see that in the magazine. And it says there's also going to be a free print and play. So I'm not sure if that's a downloadable link or how that's going to work out. But yeah, lots of content for the magazine. And like Will said, the art and graphic design. I mean, when I see a board game, I am a sucker for the art. Like Vincent Dutre is on the illustrator list or something that they have for their first issue. It looks like King of Tokyo is one of the board games they mentioned with the new Dark Edition. I don't know if, Will, have you seen the King of Tokyo?
I have. It's pretty.
Yeah, so they have some of the pictures for that in the magazine. It's pretty cool. So yeah, definitely check out the Kickstarter for Everything Board Games digital magazine.
Do you know, you said you are looking at the pages, do they have minimum, like what's the smallest pledge can you get in? Obviously for $1, yeah. But like do they have...
They have a $20 pledge. I'm not sure exactly what that all. It looks like promote your podcast, claim your favorite board game.
Yeah, the pledges are more for people who want to run ads in the magazine, yeah. Not necessarily to receive the
magazine.
Subscribe
to it.
Right. There's the subscriptions free, but the ads are where the backer levels come in. Of course, any consumer could just say, hey, here's some dollars to help, support it. Yeah. But I think the ad levels are like in the $200, $300, $500. I'm looking at the page net reward levels now. So yeah, you're looking at $200, $300, $400, $500 for actually putting an ad in the magazine. So
yeah, I feel like it's one of those ones where, I mean, people say, oh yeah, I subscribe to whatever magazine for $15-$20 a year. I'd be happy to throw $20 at a board game media maker to help them out. So mm-hmm. I think this is a great opportunity for people to show some support for content that's obviously gonna help the hobby. So it's cool stuff.
Melissa, what do you have?
Aporta Games on May 19th is bringing Capital Lux 2, Generations. This is a standalone sequel to the game Capital Lux, which came out in 2016. And this is adding a lot more cards. It sounds like you can, with the new game Generations, you can play it the way you would play the original Capital Lux, but there are 255 other tactical challenges in the game. So a lot of different cards that you can mix and match to change up the game as you play. This is a card game with card drafting and hand management where you're playing cards in several different places, and depending on the value in your home place and the value of the cards in the capital, you're going to score or not score. So you really have to pay attention to what cards are in the capital and which cards you keep. If you get too greedy and try to keep too many cards for points, you might not score them because there might not be enough of those cards in the capital. So this was a fairly popular game, Capital Lux. This is Capital Lux 2, Generations from Aporta, coming on the 19th, May 19th.
Is there already a Capital Lux Deluxe? Because I feel like that should exist.
Well, it already has art from Quan Chai Moria.
So it's already pretty deluxe.
So, and it's a card game, so I think it's probably, the cover's really cool. Looks kind of sci-fi-ish on there. All right, are we going to Jonah next?
Sure. On May 19th, coming to Kickstarter, is from Gamelin Games, is Tiny Epic Pirates. So Ooh. Tiny Epic Pirates is a 1-4 player game. Takes about 45 minutes to play. It says 30 to 60. But this game is a dice rolling kind of movement point, pick up and deliver, rondel type game, where you're taking control of a pirate ship and your goal is to bury vast amounts of wealth or treasure in these secret island hideaways. First person to do that 3 times actually wins the game. So cool. On each turn, each person playing has actually this action wheel, this rondel, where you can select a few actions. You can plunder, you can trade, you can crew up, you can attack, or you can search. And each player's rondel wheel is randomized in a unique arrangement. So everybody's kind of, you can get some replayability out of the game that way. But anyway, if you choose the plunder action, that allows you to acquire booty from settlements. If you choose the trade action, you can sell your ill-gotten goods to the black market. If you crew up, you'll add a new crew member to your growing pirate ship. And that increases your combat advantage just in case you get attacked. If you attack, you can attack merchant ships or other pirates and grow your reputation. And, of course, steal their gold and their booty if they have that. And then, of course, you can search the high seas for treasures left behind by unfortunate souls that preceded you. Anyway, as you go around and go to these different areas of the game, your goal is to bury 3 treasures, and you have to have enough gold at each spot to actually bury it. And then once you've completed that, that is the game. So that is coming to Kickstarter on May 19th from Gamelin Games. And again, that is Tiny Epic Pirates.
I've played a few Tiny Epic games, Tiny Epic Kingdoms, Tiny Epic, I think, Galaxies.
Some of the early ones.
So yeah, some of the early ones. I have not played some of the newer ones that have come out recently. I think there was a Tiny Epic. Was there Tiny Epic Zombies? Or
there was. That's the one I want to play. I've played Tiny Epic Western and Tiny Epic Mechs. Is that one?
Yeah, that is one. Yeah.
I've not played the zombie one. The one with chainsaws and other cool things looks great.
I heard about this new Tiny Epic game that was coming out, and they hadn't announced the title. And I had no idea. I probably should have guessed Pirates because that's a good one to do. I mean, that's something they have, like you said, Will. They have a Westerns one.
Didn't they do a dinosaur one?
Did they?
They did.
Do they have Tiny Epic Cthulhu? Because I feel like that.
No, but they'll probably do that one.
Calling it now.
Call it now, Will.
That's the next one.
Well, Jonah, have you played any of the Tiny Epic games? Yeah, they so they're tiny because they come in a very small box, but they they're epic because they supposedly have a big gameplay. They have.
Usually they do. I mean, their table presence is actually usually pretty impressive considering
the size of the box. Have you ever seen any of their ultra tiny epic games?
What?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if it's like half the size of their tiny, but it's kind of funny to see their boxes.
Are they closer to like a mint tin?
Mint, or?
I'm assuming. But everything's like super, super small in their box. Anyway, cool. Yeah, looking forward to the Pirates one.
Sarah, you up next?
Yeah, coming is Sea of Nadia. I talked a little bit about this one last week, and they moved their launch to this week. This is from designer Alex McClay, and this is from McClay's Games. It's a 2-4 player pirate adventure game where you have a ship that you are moving around the board.
It actually sounds like part two of the epic game that he just talked about. Like in this one, you're digging up the treasures.
Yes. So you have to go around and pick up the correct resources that you need to unlock specific treasure chests. So there's three different types of treasure chests, and you'll need to get specific resources for those. But you can only hold so much cargo on your ship, so you have to be careful what you pick up. A couple of interesting things about it are if you are the admiral for the round, you'll roll the same number of dice as there are players, and then you will assign those one die to each person, and that's the actions that they get to take. So it may have a four and then another symbol, and that symbol corresponds to a marker on the board that has a very specific action. So, and those are interchangeable every game, so there's some replayability there. But it might be like, if you move this turn, it costs 2 movement instead of 1. So you can slow other players down and give yourself an advantage. So, but that rotates every turn. So,
yeah. And some of them are bad, some of them are good. And so each time you roll the die, there's this nice decision making point where it's like, what will help me the most? What can I assign to you that won't help you at all? And then how do we race to get the most resources to unlock the most treasures? And then hope we ended up with the most valuable treasure at the end of the game.
Oh, so that is.
Well, I was just thinking, I'm like, sometimes I have a hard enough time deciding what I want to do in a turn, and now I have to, like, think about other people, too.
Yeah, well, fortunately, you're only assigning one die to each person. So, I mean, if you have, even with 2-4 players, it's usually not too difficult.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what kind of AP it stimulates, though, because you very easily could, like, try to analyze what each player is trying to do with their turn, mm-hmm. so that you're like, okay, if he moves 3 spaces, he'll be able to get a treasure, but if I give him the 4 spaces and the costs you 2 actions, he won't be able to move, but that leaves me with these dice. It's a decently lightweight game, but that part of it is really interesting. Like, you could spend some time analyzing it for sure.
Yep, and there were quite a few of those different action tiles in the board, or in the prototype. And you just select one. There's 4 different colors, and you select one for each color for the game. So there's a lot of different things. We obviously didn't play with all of the different choices that you combinations that you could put together with that. But looking forward to this one on Kickstarter soon. Will, what are you talking about?
Oh, sweet. I'm up next. I thought I was talking about that one. I guess I'm talking about...
She's like, I stole it.
I did.
I'm talking about Dawnshade from Highborn Games. This is a 1-4 player adventure. It's got a lot of stuff going on. Dice, dexterity, tile placement game.
Cooperative game.
Yeah, we just got the prototype of it in the mail the other day, and it is massive. I love how big it is. It comes in this awesome octagonal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hexagonal sided box that's full of clays and dice and custom dials. The instruction manual for it is a pretty meaty book. And then on top of that is like this campaign guide. And in the game, you are, it's got a pretty rich lore, and I don't remember all the details of it, but basically you're in this land, you're trying to work together as a team to fight off this unrest that's brewing in the land, and you will work as a team to reveal tiles and add them to the board, and then each tile that you reveal will kind of set you on some different type of quest, basically, and there's like this action board that you do all your actions on, and sometimes your rolling dice against monsters and defeating bad guys. Sometimes you're using the chips, the poker chips, to like perform different dexterity challenges. So you might have to like stack up six of them and then flip off the top one onto the board and get it to land on a specific target. Or you might be like setting up boundaries and then trying to roll your tiles through specific areas to like unlock doors and things. A lot of different types of dexterity challenges in there. And then you can, of course, like upgrade your components. You've got like health trackers that look like cool little gears that are in your board. And so your board has like, I don't know, maybe like seven different stats that you can improve throughout the course of the game to help you once you get to the final battle. And then as you're revealing those tiles to build out your adventure space, the last tile in the deck will be the ultimate bad guy that you have to face off against. And so you'll hopefully at that point have upgraded all your dice and your stats and your gear so that you can take him out and cooperatively win the game. So that is Dawnshade from Highborn Games. Takes about an hour to maybe 2 hours to play, so it's a pretty intense
one. 30 minutes per player.
I was gonna say I've seen this game in this box, and massive is the correct word for it. It's a big game. It's a big commitment.
Yeah. But it's got really cool looking art. I mean, all the dice look great. The tokens look really cool.
Yeah, they're almost like poker chips. They're really high quality. Yeah. I like that a lot.
It doesn't say who the illustrator is on the game, but it's got a very unique and very consistent illustration style to it. They've put together a bunch of like how to play videos so that you can watch them and learn what each card or what each tile, I don't know what the word is for it, but as you explore those tiles, you can learn what each one is and how you set it up. So it'd be interesting. I think we're doing a preview video of it, so you'll probably be able to find that on our channel by the time this goes live. We need to get in some good plays this week and then get some video put together so you can see what Dawnshade looks like. Who's left? Anybody else? Is that it?
I think that's it. Yeah, I think we're moving to our Mad Meeple segment.
Mike Davis is the Mad Meeple. Now it's time for why he loves it and hates it.
Hello, this is Mike Davis from the Game and Party Podcast, and this is the Mad Meeple segment. Today we talk about the game The Crew, The Quest for Planet 9. The Crew is a trick-taking game for 2 to 5 players, plays in about 20 minutes, is for ages 10 and up, and is published by Cosmos. And now, I'd like to share with you why I love this game. The first reason I love The Crew, Quest for Planet 9, is it's a cooperative, trick-taking game. Those two things usually don't go together, but in this game, they did it right. The second reason I love The Crew is there is a book of 50 missions with the game. There is a lot of replayability in this game. The third reason I love The Crew is, going along with my love number two, you can actually play this game at a very simple level, like playing level 1, or you can play it at a more complex level, all the way up to level 50. So if you've got people who don't understand trick-taking games, you can play easy levels, or if people who are more advanced, you can play the harder levels. And now I'd like to share with you why I hate this game. The first reason I hate The Crew is, you can lose this game pretty fast. If someone plays the wrong card early on, game's up. Just put it away, reshuffle, try again. The second reason I hate The Crew is some of the missions can seem pretty much impossible based on the deal. If you get just dealt a impossible hand, there's no way to win some of those tricks, it seems. And the third reason I hate The Crew is you can tell when someone screwed up. At the end of the game, if you lose, you know whose fault it was, and that person can feel bad. And that's it, guys. That's why I love and why I hate The Crew, Quest for Planet 9. You've been listening to the Mad Meeple, Mike Davis.
All right, so what do you think, Kevin and Melissa? You guys have played, actually several people have played The Crew, right?
Yeah.
It's probably just me that hasn't. Is that what it is?
I think Jonah, Chantel, Melissa and I, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, I'm the only one.
I think
you're the only one.
Well, tell me, was he right? Was he wrong? What's the what's the down low?
So it's interesting because Melissa and I played all 50 missions, and
all 50?
Yeah, all 50, and actually we've won all 50 missions. So some of the missions did take us. Oh man, there was one.
It was probably 5, 6, 7
tries. I remember one was super hard. I think it was like, was it the one where you had to win with a one, like three ones had to win or something. So
that, we played that with me and Jonah. I think.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, that was pretty difficult because everyone wants to win with the one that they have. So you have to sort of work together. And I really love that in this game, the co-op nature, but it's not like you're showing your hand. So I do like how they did the co-op nature.
Yeah. I think his hates were a little weak. Because
it's usually a good sign of a good game.
Yeah, the game is, like, each mission is so short that if you lose right away, or even if you play through the hand and then lose, it doesn't feel like you've wasted a ton of time, because maybe it was 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
It is definitely one of those card games that feels very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a lot of other card games I grew up playing. So you can jump right in, even with, you know, doing a new set of rules every single game or a variant. But then it's addicting. Like, you just want to keep playing it over and over and over.
Cool. I will say it's a lot easier to play with lower player count, because I think you can play up to 5 or 6.
Five
is really hard to complete some of those later missions because you have less cards in your hand. So I think that is a key thing. If you're going to play it, I would recommend 3 or 4 players.
Yeah, we played mainly at 4 players.
Yeah, I know, that's fine. One thing that Mike didn't mention that would help with one of his hates, he said something about if you have a really bad hand. Well, there is a sort of help, a little distress token that you can flip, and you can pass a card. Everyone passes a card to their left or their right or something, and they can get rid of a card that they want to give to their to another player. Maybe it's a good card to help someone, or maybe you're getting rid of a bad card. So there's a little bit of help for the players with that.
I felt like when we were playing together, we didn't complete the missions like right away, like maybe first one or two tries. And then once we got into a rhythm of playing and understanding how each other was going to play and what the other person was thinking and that sort of thing, we were able to go through like a lot of those missions a lot faster and complete. Like, I mean, the night that we played, we probably played it for an hour or so and probably did 6 or 7, 8 missions, right? And was able to complete them, so it was I liked it. It was really good.
Is there a way to like save your progress, or is it just easy to remember which ones you've done? How do you know?
It's a booklet, so you just know we finished 28. There's actually places you can mark scores and things for each mission. We didn't mark in our book, but we just remembered, oh yeah, we did mission 28 where you had to do such and such. We'll pick up on 29 next time. I don't know if, did he mention that you can't talk during the game when he talked about it? So it's cooperative, but there's no, like, strategizing during the hand.
Yeah, you just hope the other players are also good at trick-taking games so that they play the right stuff at the right time.
Now, do you feel like having played all 50 missions, are you like, yeah, I would totally pull this out at another game night and teach people how to play it? Or is it like, I'm done. I got it accomplished.
Oh, I would definitely play it and keep playing it.
Yeah, the replayability doesn't come in just the missions that you're doing, but also in, you know, in any trick-taking game, you're going to have different cards in your hand. So even the same mission is going to feel different. I remember one trick, I had all the trump cards in my hand. That doesn't happen a lot in trick-taking games. But
there's only 4.
It usually makes you really happy. That's probably
I was like, it was kind of funny because I was like in my mind, or I said before we started, or I don't know if I said it. I was thinking in my mind, we've got this mission. There's no way we can lose because I know what all the trump cards are and what the mission was like, because of the information I know, it doesn't matter what other people play.
But we don't know
but
that.
But they didn't
know. So Kevin's all confident.
I'm all confident.
Is this going to work?
It's going to work. And I saw the fear and when I started playing these cards and they're like, why? What are you doing? But
don't worry, I got
it. Yeah, it's like, We're good. And
love it.
We got that mission easily. So
yeah, cool. And also with the replayability, a lot of the missions you're drawing task cards from a deck. So even if you played the same mission multiple times, you're going to have different cards. So it is going to be different. It's going to feel different.
Cool. Well, I definitely need to add it to my playlist. And do you guys think, like, early prediction, I mean, is this like a contender for game of the something?
Well,
strategy?
I guess we have to decide, is it a 2020 game? Since it technically came out in 2019 Europe, but I guess it really depends on what we decide, because it didn't come over to the United States until 2020.
Right. I'm trying to think.
Such an interesting conversation.
I think it'll be in the Spiel des Jahres, one of the two categories.
Right, but it's up to us what we decide. Right.
This year.
Well, I'm saying for
Tantrum House Awards.
I'm saying for the big award, not ours. I'm just saying. I think it'll be a nominee.
Ours is the big award, Melissa. Let's not get
Oops. Did I say that out loud?
No, but I saw some people discussing that on Facebook the other day. Like, how even does Board Game Geek determine when a game is published or when it's released or when it's whatever? Because, and when you've got stuff being released in Europe that nobody in America even sees,
like Dark Side Rising,
interesting. Yeah, I mean, all kinds of games get released that we don't get to see until the year later, and you know, I don't know, how do you categorize that? So,
yeah, and like, how many do you have to have released before it's considered released?
Right. I mean, is Kickstarter backers getting their games considered released, or is it retail options? Crazy world. Crazy
Speaking
world.
Of released, we are releasing or publishing our Kickstarter campaign.
What? I feel like I need a sound effect for that, but I don't
have woo, woo, woo. Don't you have that? Don't you have that one somewhere?
That giant alarm thing. We'll see if I can get that in post.
May 26th, if you are listening.
Date!
If you're listening to this, May 26th, we plan to launch our Kickstarter campaign for Season 7. We postponed it 2 months now. Can you believe it? Crazy.
I can't, actually. It flew.
It did fly by. We still have a little bit more to work on the page. We're really close. It's actually funny. I literally just got an email from the Up while we were doing the podcast. We have a Toy Story deck building game promo. For,
you got to see it?
And I have it here in front of me with pictures. And so follow up on it. We were in talks with them. This is for their Toy Story Obstacles and Adventures game. It's a pack of 6 cards that a person would get. So it's a nice size promo pack for them if you're interested in that. And I really enjoy this deck building game. So I'm really excited about it. And
can't wait to see it.
That is one of 20 new promo packs, promo cards, promo promos, because there's more than just cards. We won't reveal everything right now, but 20 new promo
items
that
20 new plus several available from previous years. And
probably at least, what do you think, Sarah? About 20 of the past ones, probably about.
Yeah, I would say 10 to 20
other games that are available.
We may have had last year, but the game wasn't published yet. So we had a few that were Kickstarter campaigns where if you didn't back the Kickstarter, you probably wouldn't have seen this game yet because it hasn't hit retail. Mm-hmm. Now that it hit retail in the last couple months,
you
might want to pick up these promos.
Yeah.
And then we've also got bunches and bunches of bundles of games. I know we just got Endeavor Age of Sail and Age of Steam. Is that what it is? As a bundle from Burnt Island Games. They're going to be one of our backers and helpers. A lot of other cool combinations of several games packed together at a great price. And then custom dice, custom game mats, t-shirts, bags. Oh, man. I'm getting a little excited.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for the content that we will be able to offer to the backers. So check that out. We will reveal more in the coming days and weeks. Check our Facebook page and Twitter and social medias. And we will hopefully...
One other goal that I'm kind of excited about, I'm just going to ruin it. I don't think it's really we talked about this for years. Like, this idea has come up and we've never done it. But we've talked about doing like a live gaming marathon, basically, where we just play games for like a crazy number of hours. So we've got a stretch goal in there for a 24-hour Tantrum House gaming marathon.
Woo!
And if we hit that goal, we will be live on YouTube for 24 straight hours somebody, hopefully not me the whole time, will be playing games live.
So part of those proceeds will go to the coffee that will be keeping us awake and our brains working.
Yeah, just so you know, Will, you can only do it in 12-hour chunks, so you have to do a
12. Oh, no, are you serious?
Yeah, you have to do a 12-hour live and then have another 12-hour live.
Go live after the next one?
So, but you know how you can schedule a live to go at a certain time. So we'll just make sure that you know.
Immediately.
Like if we start
there
at.
There might be like a 5-minute break while the system resets.
Yeah, so it's like say we start
what
at
happens
noon.
What happens if I accidentally fall asleep?
You won't. We'll be so excited.
Like I'd say like a noon on a Friday to like a noon on a Saturday. That's 24 hours, right?
That's when you bust out games like Happy Salmon.
There you go.
I love the idea. We'll if we do that, we'll be able to get the equipment necessary to just be able to run batteries and cameras for that long. We'll have the whole crew on site. We'll pick a date when we can all get together and do it. Probably have to be like a holiday or something crazy because we'll be dedicated to, ooh, is that what we're doing? That could be fun. Yeah, playing all kinds of cool games. We'll definitely set it up to like interact with the audience so that they can vote on the games we play and comment, and I'm sure we'll have prizes and things. So I would be thrilled if we hit that goal. I think that would be a blast to finally sit down and pull it off. One other thing that we can pull off right now are the wrappers to these delicious candies. Did you like that transition?
That was good. So we should shout out to our international intern.
Yay, Tina! Tina sent us some Easter candy. We've actually been holding on to these for a little while because we forgot to talk about these in a previous episode.
Well, part of the reason was we haven't seen each other for quite a while. And so we finally were able
Kevin's already in. I haven't opened mine yet.
Pass out some of the candy to each of the houses.
Check this one out. It's white chocolate with, can you see that?
It's like confetti.
Confetti? Is that what we're calling that? It's got like cool colored sugars on it.
Cool.
What is this called, Sarah? As I bite into it, you translate and I'll chew.
Milka brand chocolates.
We have Milka brand that you sent us the assorted pack that had like an Oreo inside. This other one had like a vanilla inside. Melissa?
This one's like a chocolate.
Like a truffle sort of. Yeah.
So these are German candies.
Yeah, they have like little nuts inside too with the chocolate. So, yeah, think of a
dove chocolate? Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is pretty unique.
Yeah, milk chocolate, trying to think of like a truffle where it's hard on the outside and soft in the middle.
And it has a filling.
Yeah. So, very good.
I've never actually
Thank you,
tried
Tina.
To read the health ingredients or whatever. No. So, we've got energy.
That's probably calories.
Probably, but it says energy. So you get 100 grams of energy out of these puppies, which I'm excited about.
That explains why my child was bouncing off the wall.
Right? And then it's got some Davon Zucker. 63 grams of that. It's got some Sols. Not very much Sols. And it's got some carbohydrates. Oh, yeah, that. Pretty excellent.
You can now speak
Jonah
German.
Chantel,
I feel like Will where's just you guys needs to have a whole entire podcast on just pronouncing these words.
Yeah, this is... We need you, Chantel. We need you.
Will doesn't pronounce all the English words right. So no. When you add another language in there, forget it.
I'm not biased against any language. I botch English just as much as any of the other ones.
You probably don't even know what this is here.
Weeb?
No, that's actually...
Weeb.
That letter is a letter we don't have in the English language, and it is two S's.
Two S's. Mm-hmm.
It looks like a capital B, but it's two S's.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I think it's vanilla.
Does it mean delicious? Because it's delicious.
This package looks like vanilla. It has a white flour.
It also tasted like vanilla, and it was very good. Yep. Thank you, Tina, for supplying myself and everyone in the house some delicious chocolates. In fact, I think my kids actually made a video. They've got their own YouTube channel. I think it's called, like, Neighbor Kids Gaming, and they put together challenges, and they did a foreign taste testing challenge where they, I think they ranked them all. I didn't go watch the video. I should do that. but they ranked, like, I don't know what it was, like 7 or 8 different kinds of German candies.
We had an assortment of the Milka brand chocolates, and then she also sent the Kinder brand ones where they have a little toy inside with the chocolate.
But these are for serious. The toys that I've seen here, like the egg is the size of a Cadbury egg, and the toy is like a plastic necklace that's the size of a penny. These were like constructible five-piece plastic set toys that move. And
yeah, these were like better than a lot of McDonald's Happy Meal toys.
Yeah, on par or better for sure. Way to go, German engineering. Cram a whole toy into
the name of your your kids' channel is Neighbor Kids Gaming, and they have it actually looks pretty cool. 10-minute video on German candy taste testing, Easter edition, part 3.
There it is. Check it out, like it, subscribe. They'll be all excited. Yep. They give me a subscriber count once a week.
Hey, they're at 70 subscribers. You got to start somewhere.
70. All right, way to go. Yep. Cool stuff. I try to be excited for them. I am excited for them, but I try also like to not. I don't know what the word is. Helicopter too much on that. Like I got them started. I want them to run with it. They've been having fun, so awesome.
When they reach it,
they edit, they shoot, yeah. or they write the script and film and edit and upload all by themselves.
Cool.
Fun stuff. Well, cool. Hope you guys have all had fun listening to us eat chocolate and wrappers on the radio. We will definitely look forward to seeing you guys show up for our Kickstarter. What's that date one more time,
Kevin?
May
26th.
May 26th. So that's probably a week from now if you're listening to this when it first drops. Yep. And we'll have all kinds of great stuff on there. We're very excited to be able to go live with the campaign and to be able to give some really cool stuff to all of our backers. We'll be looking forward to doing some live playthroughs and videos and shows. I think we've got a couple of live things coming up. This week, if you're listening to this, so tune in on, is it Thursday? Are we going to be live on Thursday?
Probably Thursday, Saturday, all the days.
Yeah, so we'll be doing our Tantrum Talks, where we'll be talking about some cool stuff coming to Kickstarter, and then Saturday we'll be doing a Saturday morning board game show. We live in South Carolina, and they've been reducing some of the quarantine measures and things, so I think we're actually going to maybe be live together for that episode, which will be exciting. I don't know if we'll all be there,
Not all of us, but some of us.
So that'll be a lot of fun to finally get together and play some games and talk about some fun stuff. So tune in for those. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in for yet another episode. See you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.